Paul was a Jew and became a Christian. And he became a Christian because there was no way within what he believed that he could ever be perfect or right before God or accepted by God or have confidence about death. I just want to read, my title is "To Open the Doors of Your Prison, Remember He Has Risen." I want to read from Acts 16, 16 to 24. So, well, there's quite a few away. The people that normally laugh aren't here today. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. They like the word slave girl. In some versions, it means servant girl. But spirit of divination, and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim your way, the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit in this girl, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And it came out of that very hour. So Paul and Silas are out there, and Luke and all the rest of them, telling people about Jesus. This woman came along and told everybody that these people were talking about the Most High God. What's wrong with that? Well, they detected that there was something about her which wasn't of God, and probably she wasn't displaying the fruits of conversion herself, but there was something horrible within her. And so you or I were there, we say, "Oh, come along and join us. You know, brilliant, good to see you here." But because they had listened to God, they'd been in chair one, they'd prayed, they'd probably got up that morning and God had said, "Something's going to happen today, watch out for it." And they had decided to come against the evil spirit in this woman that was masquerading as something good. And that happens sometimes. When owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, but they disturb in our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us to accept as Romans." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. When they'd inflicted blows upon them, they threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into the inner stocks. That sounds bad. This is probably a little bit different to any prison that you had envisaged before. To be thrown into a prison, into the inner jail, with your feet in stocks, in that culture, in that time, wouldn't have got you in good stead. Let's put it this way. What this says was they had no way of getting out of their prison. No way, absolutely no way. And you might be in a personal prison today that's financial, that's physical, that's emotional, but you probably got absolutely no way of getting out of it. And that's good, because what Scripture and the Holy Spirit and God are good at doing is saying, "Look how bad it is, and look what I'm going to do." So where you are in a personal prison yourself, at school, at college, or whatever, or in your work, God did something here. We had a church I was at years ago in the Channel Islands. We had a prison ministry. On a Sunday afternoon, we would go into the prison and we would do a service. The Christians in the prison will come in and we'd chat to them and it would be finished. It was about half an hour, 45 minutes. It was great. We had this lady from the Philippines who joined our church, a Filipino nurse, had joined our church, and she came with us. Now, the rules of, let's say, punishment in the Philippines and places like that are different to what they are in this country. And, of course, we're deep into the European Union then, so rules prevented certain punishments from taking place. She walks down around this prison in Guernsey. Now, a prison in Guernsey is like a hotel. It's like a Premier Inn, I mean, honestly. I mean, she's walking around. And she says, "I'm looking for something." "What?" She said, "Where's the lethal injection chamber?" I said, "We don't have them here." I said, "That's other countries." I said, "In the European Union, it's not capital punishment is different." But this particular place here was different. They were in prison, and it carries on. What happens? 25 to 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In other words, at midnight, but at their deepest, darkest valley, they were praying and singing hymns to God. It's easy at that point to say, look what's happened here. We have converted half of the Mediterranean. We have done this. We've done great things. And God has forgotten us. And I can tell you quite now, when bad things happen, for your first 5 seconds, you think either God hates me, God thinks I'm not good enough, or God has forgotten me. That's the first thing. But you need to push that out of the way and get back to singing and praising God and bringing God in and hearing what God says about you, hearing what positive Christians say about you, and then doing that. Singing hymns at midnight. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison was shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners would escape. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." What he means is, if your household also believe in the Lord Jesus, they'll be saved as well. It's all where the comma is in there. But at the same time, it's probably prophetically thinking that as the way, the fact that if you believe, it will lead to your household being saved. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all those who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once. They brought them into his house, set food before them, rejoiced along with his entire household that they believed in God. That's an amazing example, just like Peter Light's example this week, of where something horrible was turned around to something good, something absolutely wonderful. I've got something really, God spoke to me the other day, I think on Tuesday, and something very specifically. God said, destroy every single sermon you've ever preached. Rip it up, delete it from your computer, don't go back to it. Every single thing, get rid of it. And so I've done it. I mean, I've got rid of it. And I'm not saying I used to repeat sermons, but I'm saying occasionally in this job, you use illustrations and other things. So I was told to get rid of absolutely everything. And I use the illustration of biscuits today, but I visited a lady many, many years ago, an old lady, is not alive anymore, and she gave me some cakes out of the cupboard. These cakes were so far out of date that the actual icing was moving. Now, I kind of looked at it and put it back, and I think I can see Glenys and Marie smiling, but it's nobody in this church now who's related to anyone in this church, but you cast your mind back many, many years. But anyway, it's fine, and she was a lovely lady. But it's like the cakes, when they're in date, were great, but they're not now. And God's saying, get new stuff. Not just to me, to all of us. Get new experiences with God. Get new stuff. Because in your darkest night, God will speak in. God did not look at that prison and say, oh, my gosh, they're in the inner stocks. Nothing can happen in there. An angel might have said to God, well, what about the other people in the prison being saved? Oh, Paul and Silas can't do it. It's finished. God says, no, no, no. When I was talking to Pete, I had to go somewhere. I was driving along and 8, 9, 10 days, whenever it was, I rang Pete from a car. I stopped off, parked the side of the road and spoke to me. He told me about the operation. He's decided to have it. And inside I thought, oh, gosh, not another one. Not somebody else in the church. I felt really low, and I thought, do you know what? And I actually heard the faith in his voice at the time, even then. But I thought, wow, what's incredible is that I actually felt right then that God was going to do something and bring us through that. And so what God is saying through this actual event that happened is that no matter how bad it is, God can not only bring you out of it, but use you in the middle of it. See, they were being good, but bad stuff happened. And so they were praying and singing hymns at midnight. And other people were watching them. It says the prisoners were listening to them. The other people were seeing the fact that even though bad stuff was happening, they were being Christians. They were being people who believed in God. It's still okay to be a Christian. It's still okay to believe in what we believe. It's still okay to be followers of Jesus. It's still okay to love, to forgive. And right in the middle of that, God is not weak. He's not puny. The power available, even at the midnight hour, even at the darkest moment, the power that's available is absolutely incredible. Totally incredible. The power that's available. The insight, what God can do for you, even though you might not think you're good enough to hear from God or be healed by God, what God can do for you. is incredible. And Paul, later on, when he writes the letter to the Corinthians, second letter, he said, I have labored and toiled, often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food, cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, tempted, but I do not inwardly burn? But people were watching his life and watching their lives and seeing how they would react, simply because they're thinking, my gosh, we're in our own prison as well, but you can't see it. So others have got a prison and you can't see it. The person at college or school or work who brags about this, brags about that, they've got their own prison, but you can't see their bars. And they're looking at you. Oh, yeah, they might call you. You know, years ago we had some girls at our church in Guernsey who said, look, we love the youth group you've got at this church, but our friends at school make fun of us because they say you go to Jesus Club. And they make fun of us and, oh, that stupid Jesus Club. And I'm thinking, guess what? Or they themselves are looking for Jesus as well, but they just don't know it. And pretty much everybody who's made fun of me or put me down, even for my faith or something else, has eventually seen, do you know what? You've stood the test of time, do this. And there are people in this room who have stood the test of time. They've been there and they still sing hymns at midnight. Singing hymns at midnight, it's great. I fasted and fasted for my mother to come out of intensive care. And it was God had other things. But do you know what? I said, God, how are you going to use this story? How are you going to use me? People watch their lives to see how they would react. And they, verse 6, 26, I love 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So they experienced the God of suddenlies. They experienced the God of suddenlies. This God of suddenlies is able to do anything suddenly. Don't restrict him by what you think can happen or can't happen. You know nothing. He created the universe without you. You know, with Pete's operation, it's created within me an interest to find out the workings of the heart. So I saw this YouTube video about how the heart works and everything. I thought, there is no way on this planet that that could have evolved. No chance. How the heck? I mean, what are people thinking of? How can, with the heart, one part has to exist before other parts exist. You can't just have one chamber evolve and there's, well, what are they thinking of? God designed every single part of nature. And this God who designed every part of nature is a God of suddenlies. A God of absolute suddenlies who can do anything at any time. They got better, not bitter. And because they got better, not bitter, God used them in their situation to bring salvation to other people. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved, you and your household. It says, don't harm yourselves. We're all here. See, if it's me, I'd have gone, ha, 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 ha. It's God that I believe in. Look, he set me free. And you lot can clear off. I'll tell you what. But the jailer came to them. How are we going to be prepared when our jailer comes to us on his knees begging? Maybe when they do, don't just say, ha, ha, ha. Now you know that I was right all along. But the best thing to do is say, actually, God, what are you saying for this? What are you doing for this? This ended up in the Bible because God did something through them and they wanted everyone to see it. God, in life, there are boundaries. And Paul and Silas reacted well with the boundary that they had. Boundaries can come from different places. You see, there are good boundaries that are put there by God. Paul had boundaries before, and there were certain things he could do under the Jewish law, there were certain things he couldn't do. Then he became a Christian, and that changed. The list of things he could do and couldn't do changed. But there are boundaries that are put here right now. If I wanted my neighbour's television, and I walked in and shot them all at gunpoint and took the TV back and put it in my room because I like their TV, that's a boundary that I cannot cross as a Christian. I cannot cross that. I'm not allowed to cross that. And also there is a boundary in terms of, and I'm still not afraid to say this, and I there is a boundary in the Bible of what marriage is and what it isn't. And that is a boundary that I will never cross, that we're not supposed to. You don't have to be afraid. because God will always give you the words to say in the right situation. There's a boundary of biblical marriage which says what it is and what it isn't. And there are boundaries that are put there for us. There's certain things I tell Ashley what she can do and what she cannot do. And there are boundaries. But also there are boundaries that are put there by other people. Other people put boundaries there, not always good ones. They put Paul and Silas in jail. They shouldn't have been in jail. They're good people. They're following God. So other people put them. There are people who will put boundaries on you and put restrictions on you and say, because great uncle such and such never did this, you're never going to do it as well. You'll never be a lawyer. You'll never be this. You know, I would always say that when people put those boundaries in the place, I actually think, well, no, my God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And who am I going to listen to? I remember certain boundaries that people put on me when I was young. Romans 14:10-13 says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. It's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of God to himself. Therefore, let us not judge each other as we have been doing. So, but there are also boundaries that are put there by ourselves. Paul realized that there were boundaries in his life that he had put there himself and must have put there, and God helped him to take away. Like, for instance, Paul had done some pretty bad things in his life and had led to the imprisonment and eventual slaughter of many Christian families before he was a Christian. And in that situation, he'd have quite easily thought, I'm a Christian now. Oh, I can't do any. I'm just going to sit in the corner of the room and be quiet. I can't ever be used by God because I did those bad things. And we can have, you know, the area I grew up in, when the last of my parents had passed away, when it was time to move and find another house, it did not enter into my thinking of getting a house outside of the estate I lived in, because I didn't know that life existed out of the estate I lived in. I thought, I'm going to live here all the time. But when somebody suggested, well, actually, why don't you get a house, blah, blah, blah. So, no, well, outside of this estate, no way, I can't do that. And we put boundaries on ourselves. But also there are boundaries put there by the devil as well. And that can be a combination of the last two, what you said and what others said. Boundaries are put on you, boundaries set on you for years and years and years that you cannot seem to break free from. And we need to recognize what those boundaries are. Yes, God gives us freedom, but freedom to live in the holiness that he wants us to live in. But there's also tremendous freedom. We don't have to live with depression, anxiety, or any of these things. I'm not saying we can snap out of them immediately. It's not always easy, because things that have taken a long time can't come go immediately. But God says to you, you can do everything that I want you to do. And I was waiting years and years to get into the role where I was leading a church, and for years and years I'd see other people preach. I came up with every single excuse against doing what I believe God had called me to do. And I thought, there's no way it'll happen because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that. But I knew deep down that God had called me to do something for him. And I had put those boundaries myself, and the devil had solidified them. But God is a God who is able to come in and take those boundaries and obliterate them. God can do anything. Whatever restrictions you have now, if you prayed about those restrictions or got prayer from them, quite easily this week or next week or the week after, God can change things. God can change things around. I was praying with a person before the service who was talking about a difficult home situation. And I said to that person, God can change absolutely anything at any time. But I want to just remind you, the best thing to do is keep singing hymns at midnight. And let other people see that you're singing hymns at midnight. And what I mean by that is, you know, that right in the middle of it, they've just seen that it's happened to you. They've just seen that the bad thing has happened to you. And they're looking at you to think, well, actually, he talks about this Jesus. He goes to this church. If he acts properly as a result of this and is full of faith and is full of love and forgiveness, then maybe I can also say, what then, sirs, must I do to be saved? The the transformation in this community was amazing. I just can't imagine what it's like being in the inner stocks, legs in irons, in the middle of a, you know, in the middle of a an inner prison. I mean, they must have thought, well, actually, the following day, what's going to happen to us? They didn't know. I mean, they thought, you know, anything could happen to us the following day. They'd already seen, Stephen martyred and James, and now they're in a situation whereby this quite easily happens on the following day. But they sung hymns at midnight. I would encourage you today to keep singing those hymns at midnight. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep thanking God for what he has done and believing what he could and will do in the future. So they were put in prison because something happened to them and it was nothing to do with them. They were being good Christians. They were doing all the right things. They were going to church on Sunday, going to Sunday school, reading the Bible, doing all the right things. But something bad happened and they continued in the belief that they had. People watched their lives to see how they reacted. They experienced the God of suddenlies. I want to remind you about the God of suddenlies because it's important to know this. You see, I used to think when I was a new Christian that if I'm really, really holy and I can just do my best and read my Bible and resist temptation and be really good and go to church as often as possible, God just might possibly like me at some point in the future. That's what I used to think. But actually, God accepts us fully and completely, and we're given 100% freedom and access to the power of the Holy Spirit and the riches of heaven immediately, without equivocation, when we turn to follow Jesus Christ. Because he doesn't look at your righteousness or lack of it. God looks at Jesus' righteousness. One more scripture, Colossians 1, 21 to 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your behavior. But now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And so I'd say, stay inside God's borders. You might find your feet in stocks in the middle of a prison at some point this week with something new. Continue to sing hymns at midnight. You know, when you're in that office or that college or wherever it is you're saying, somebody says something bad to you or calls you happy clappy. I used to be called happy clappy at the Guernsey Press because I'm a happy clappy tambourine bashing religious maniac, you know. And that's what, although we haven't actually got any tambourines in here. But I thought, I am going to sing hymns at midnight. And they can watch me and they can see what God wants to do. I want to remind you today that God knows who you are. He's very aware of your jail right now. See, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they would be tempted to think, God does not know me anymore. God has no more plans for us. He's written us off. But God knows you, knows where you are. He knows the pain, the uncertainty, and the fear. And he's there with you, walking on that beach. Even though one set of footprints is there, it's a heavy set of footprints because he is carrying you. And he is good, and he is kind, and he is compassionate. And if we just continue to sing hymns at midnight, in other words, continue to believe, continue to press into him, and continue to trust, we would see him do great things. I want us to be quiet for a moment while I would like us to just focus on God and focus on God's goodness. And I would like you, because this is quite a theme that I've used sometimes, but I would like you to God's given me this today to share. Just think of your jail right now, whatever it is. And then stop thinking about it. And then say, God, you know what? Look at what you have given me. You be thankful for the things that God has given you. Start to remember the prophecies and the words of encouragement and the things that have been put over you. Start to remember what God has called you to do. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Lord, you don't write any of us off. You never write us off. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. just get a sense in my spirit. And you, the Bible talks about people, a word of knowledge, where, you know, if you're following Jesus and you've got, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the manifestations of the gifts of Spirit is a word of knowledge. So God gives you something to share. So I just, God's given me this word at the moment. There's somebody in this room, and I'm not going to bring you out or get you, or embarrass you. You can share with me afterwards. There's somebody in this room, and you're aware of a massive approaching whirlwind in your life. So in your life or the life of your family, there's an approaching whirlwind. There's an approaching storm that you know about. And you're just thinking, as a Christian, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And God simply says to you, I am with you. Trust me, and I will get you through it. And the result of that whirlwind will be that others will see how you reacted and come to know Jesus as well.